Bhavanasu. So as we return to the practice of settling the mind in its natural state, it's very helpful to recall a very important comment by, once again, Tsongkhapa, one of the greatest masters in the whole history of Tibetan Buddhism, in which he stated in the practice of shamatha, it's imperative that you maintain a flow of knowing, that you're really ascertaining something, a constant flow. If at any point that real knowing ceases and you're just kind of sitting there kind of blank, then you are habituating yourself to unawareness, to not knowing. The word in Tibetan is the same, ma rigpa, not knowing, or unawareness, just the opposite of rigpa, which is awareness. And if you're cultivating unawareness, then you're cultivating, you're heading off in the diametrically opposed direction from the path of awakening. You're on the path of ensleepening. So that's, you didn't need to travel halfway around the world to fall asleep. And so this raises then a question. So I'd like to now call for your full attention. So how many of you can see the Buddha image, the golden Buddha image that I'm holding in my hands right now? You three are seriously troubled. I mean, a golden Buddha image that somebody actually manufactured, and it's heavy because it's a statue. So maybe I didn't phrase the question quite clearly enough. How many of you can see the $500 golden Buddha image purchased in Kathmandu 3 years ago that I'm holding in my hands right now? That's a relief. Thank you. I didn't express my question clearly enough, since my apologies to the three who raised your hands, which are happily now rescinded. Well, there's a very good reason for that, and that is that the $500 statue in my hand does not exist. And you cannot validly apprehend anything that doesn't exist. Now, people do apprehend things that don't exist, but that's a misapprehension. So people who are hallucinating, people who are psychotic, delusional, they're seeing things, and they may be absolutely persuaded that they are real, that they're really there, and they're not. What is there are the appearances, even schizophrenics, and that's a very interesting point, especially from Prasangika Madhyamaka philosophy, so anybody who knows Buddhist philosophy, we've just gone to the pinnacle, and that is that we're never deluded with respect to our immediate impression of the appearances themselves. So if there arose to your mind's eye an image of the Buddha in my hand, there did arise to your mind's eye an image of the Buddha in my hands. That wasn't false, right? Or if I suddenly become psychotic and think there are horns growing on the top of my head and I got a long tail, that appearance is true. You know, that appearance is arising. If I think that's who I really am, well, hopefully that's a serious misconception. All right. And so the appearances are there. The appearances are there. And just to be aware of the appearances that do arise is not delusional, right? But to think that there really is a $500 statue in my hand right now, that's delusional. No matter what the appearance is, if you think there's a $500, well, nobody does. So it's non-existent, therefore you cannot accurately apprehend it being there, because it's not. Right? Now, having said that, since no hands went up, I can answer this question, but it will be a rhetorical question. Rhetorical question. You can sit closer together if you like. Here's a rhetorical question, so you don't need to answer. How many of you can see that there is no $500 statue from Nepal in my hand right now? That there is no such thing? That's a rhetorical question. Since you already kept your hands down before, I'm assuming that you can all see there is no such. In other words, you are seeing the non-existent. You are apprehending the non-existence of a statue in my hands right now. So it's possible to apprehend the emptiness of something, the absence of something, the non-existence of something. And that is knowing something that is there. What is there is an absence of a Buddha image. And that's there, right? So this is leading up to our practice. A number of you have already commented to me one-on-one that in settling the mind in its natural state, on occasion, as you're attending to the space of the mind, you're not getting anything. You're looking for something to ascertain, something to know, and you're not. if we should blithely continue in the practice, and just whenever there's no thoughts, you just kind of go, and slip into a state of unknowing, then you'll be practicing towards liberation, and then away from liberation, and towards liberation, and away from liberation. Whenever a thought arises, maybe you ascertain it, but when there's no thought arising, then, you know, not knowing anything. Well, then it's not shamatha. Then it's completely spotty, potholed path of shamatha. So at all times, and this is now where the whole little gimmick of the Buddha image comes in, at all times in this practice, as in any other practice, it's really crucial that you're maintaining an ongoing flow of knowing, right? Even when there's no distinct image, thought, memory, and so forth arising in the mind, you must know something. So let's take now a third question, and that is, as you attend to my forum here, right, so, please attend, can you perceive that there is space between us, between where you are and me? Can you not focus on me, but can you focus, place your attention right midway between where you sense you are and where my form is? And can you see, as you're attending right midway, you're looking at space. You're not looking at something that doesn't exist, like the Buddha in my hands, doesn't exist at all, so you can't see it. You're looking at something that does exist. The space is there. It's not just an absence of form. The space is there. It's called the intervening space, Bar-Nam. Can everybody see the space between us? Right? It's perceptible. And you can see that that space is the locus, the domain in which images, forms, colors, and so forth arise. Right? They're not arising out of nothing. They're present in visual space. Right? So in a similar fashion, when we're attending to the space of the mind, there's always something there. On the one hand, you may detect the absence of thoughts. That's knowing something. But you may also detect the presence of space. And that's also knowing something. Okay? This is kind of important. Again, if we can get it right at the beginning, we have a good chance of being right all the way through. Get it wrong at the beginning, we can have deeply ingrained bad habits. Okay? Good. Let's go in. Let's go in for practice. Settle your body in its natural state, your respiration in its natural rhythm. And for a little while, practicing by way of any of the three methods of mindfulness of breathing, calm the discursive mind and make your mind relatively serviceable. And now take as your object of mindfulness the space of the body and whatever tactile events of earth, water, fire, and air arise within this space. Maintain a flow of bare attention, a quiet mindfulness, simply observing the nature of any tactile event that arises, observing without distraction, and to the best of your ability without grasping. Attend closely. Can you also ascertain not only the events arising within the space of the body, the sensations of firmness and so on, but can you also detect the space in which these tactile sensations are arising and passing away? Now let your eyes be at least partially open. Rest your gaze vacantly in the space in front of you, without taking any interest in any visual appearance. And direct the full force of your attention to the domain of purely mental events, such as thoughts and mental images. Don't worry about where the space is or how big it is. The space of the mind is wherever mental events occur. So for the time being, if we liken the mind to a stage on which actors come and go, attend to the foreground, the actors. Observe the thoughts and images that arise and pass. Observe their nature without seeking to modify them in any way. Do not try to alter anything that takes place within the space of the mind, but simply sustain the flow of mindfulness without distraction, without grasping. while sustaining the continuity of mindfulness to the best of your ability. At least intermittently monitor the flow of attention with introspection, relaxing, releasing, and returning to the present. As soon as you see that excitation has captivated your attention, and arousing, refreshing, focusing your attention. When you see that you've slipped off into a state of unknowing or a loss of clarity. And now, as if you were shifting your attention, or the focus of your attention from the players on the stage, to the background of the stage itself, focus especially now, take a special interest in the intervals between thoughts. Keeping your attention as single-pointedly focused as you can on the domain of mental experience without drifting off into one of the sensory fields or being carried away by thoughts. Focus on these space-time intervals. What appears to your awareness and what is to be known during the intervals between thoughts. Attend closely to the space of the mind, which is most evident during the intervals between thoughts, but which is always there, for it is out of the space of the mind that thoughts emerge, in which they are present, and into which they eventually dissolve. Focus on the space of the mind that is always there, and attend closely. What are its characteristics? Is it flat, two-dimensional? Or is it three-dimensional? Is it black? Or does it have any color at all? Does it have a shape? Is it spherical? Or a size? Is it the size of your head, or smaller, larger? Does it have a center or a periphery? Does it have any characteristics at all? Or is this space non-existent? In which case it cannot be apprehended, and has no characteristics. And now for the duration of the remainder of the session, relax Sustain your focus on the space of the mind and its contents, without distraction, without grasping. Attending to the foreground and the background, whatever appears, and in this way settle your mind in its natural state. Oh, that's all. Let's continue practicing.